Welcome, Dumbheads, to MDC, the Mega Dumbcast. In this season, we are examining every single goddamn page of Palladium's Heroes Unlimited to determine what is the dumbest thing on that page. Every episode is one page, every episode is short. If you'd like to play along at home, this is Heroes Unlimited Revised 2nd Edition, the second printing from December 1998. Today we're discussing page 255 of Heroes Unlimited. We're still in the Major Super Abilities section, and today we're discussing Bio Ghost, which is meant to be an edgy 90s power. You'll see these throughout the Major Super Abilities section. We already saw Night Stalking in the Minor Super Abilities section. We've talked about Body Weapons, which makes you literally edgy. But yeah, we've seen this before. Bio Ghost is another instance of a power that it's a superpower, but it's got a tragic drawback. It makes you into kind of like a vampire ghost. It's a horror trope twofer here because, well, I'll let the power speak for itself. Quote, characters with this strange power feed on the biological energy slash life force of others. Although potentially lethal, it takes many draining attacks to kill somebody. Here's how the power works. Whenever the bio ghost feeds, he momentarily becomes intangible, about 3 seconds, and can walk completely through living creatures, people, or animals, absorbing their energy. Actually, just turning intangible and sticking one's hand into somebody else will allow the character to drain the energy he needs. The character with the bio ghost power can become intangible at will, but only to feed. The momentary intangibility prevents most victims from fighting back and hurting their ghostly attacker. Note, this power does not enable the character to walk through walls or use the intangibility in any other way. So first of all, let's deal with the ghost half of this, right? Because you turn intangible, and this allows you to wave your ghostly arm through people and dine upon their very souls. Theoretically, the intangibility keeps them from fighting back. But actually, you only turn intangible for 3 seconds, and you can only use the intangibility to wave your arms through people. So you're not much of a ghost at all, are you? You can't walk through walls. You can't even walk through people if you're full and can't feed on them. More on that later. And you don't stay intangible long enough to keep them from fighting back. Not really. You're only intangible during the attack, and when it's their turn to attack, you're not attacking. It's the nature of the system. I mean, ghosts and vampires are both cool and all, but let's remember the primary point of Heroes Unlimited is to simulate a boxing match. And in a boxing match, you know, one guy punches, the other guy punches, one guy punches, the other guy punches, one guy runs out of actions, the other guy completes the melee round, taking a series of actions unanswered, although the other person can still do automatic parries. I mean, we've all seen boxing, you know how it works. And during your opponent's unanswered flurry of punches, you're just standing there like a jackass, taking those body shots. It's not very ghostly. It kind of detracts from the horror, I feel, if a ghost comes up to you, not through the wall, but like through the door, you know, knock, 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 no answer, open up. Step on in, now I turn intangible and rah, pass my arm through you, and then go solid, and you're like, oh shit, a ghost, whack, sock to the jaw. And the ghost stumbles back and is like, ugh, I'm gonna pass through you so hard. It's not scary. Any ghost you can escape by locking yourself in the closet? Nah. So the rules do not back you up on your ghostly nature, but at least they make sense, until you start to go hungry. Because there are rules in this power for what happens if you don't pass through enough people. Because here's the thing, you're not just feeding on them to gain extra strength and speed, which is the main function of this power. If you feed a lot on people, you get bonuses. But you also need to do it just to eat, right? Like even if you're not interested in fighting crime, you got to pass through a couple people a day. If you don't, you'll start to feel fatigued and heavy, and eventually you will turn intangible. You're in feeding mode, you can't turn back tangible. However, according to the rules, you still can't pass through objects. So I don't know, like if somebody shoots you with a bullet, I guess you still take damage even though you're intangible because you're not intangible to bullets, just, you know, people slash meals. So what happens if you get locked in a room while you're in this kind of ghostly hunger malaise? You can't walk through walls with this power, but can you touch the doorknob to get out? Can you knock on the door? I really don't know. It's very unclear. So this is like one of the major drawbacks of this power. And, you know, drawbacks are essential to playing a monster. Why even do a horror superhero if you're not going to mope about something? But the rules here, sincerely, I mean, I know I often point out these niggling problems. Here, it is a severe oversight that we don't know, like, how intangible you are when you get stuck in intangible form. So, on all fronts, the ghost thing doesn't work. But that is of lesser importance compared to the vampire half of this power, because this is a weak-ass vampire. I got opinions about this, because unlike many people, you know, I know that many of my listeners actually started gaming with Palladium role-playing games. most gamers probably started with Dungeons and Dragons. I first encountered games like, you know, Toon and the Marvel Superheroes role-playing game because my mom saw them in stores and was like, this is acceptable for my son. So that was like the gateway drug. Then I got into other role-playing games, and that's when I really entered my Palladium phase. But this was before I really had, you know those things, friends? Before I had friends. So I didn't really play Palladium games so much as I just sort of marveled over them and tried to decode them. But my first real tabletop gaming experiences with other people were with Vampire the Masquerade. And I always hated when a GM, I'm sorry, a storyteller, would try to take away my vampire experience just for their precious plot convenience. Like, I had a GM once who had the player characters, of whom I was one, working for this big badass vampire who would just drive us around to go like fight zombies or whatever the fuck was happening in that campaign. I'm sorry, in that chronicle. We would go fight zombies and he would take us there in a limo, and the limo would be full of these like bags full of blood. And he'd be like, okay, eat up, guys. Don't want to waste a lot of time with you roaming around, questioning your humanity, preying upon your fellow man in order to stave off the darkness. Just here, drink from this bag, then go have a superhero fight with zombies. And I hated that shit. As a vampire, I want to be dangerous. I want to be tortured. I want there to be serious consequences to both feeding and not feeding. And, you know, I want power that's attached to tragedy. That's what I'm here to explore. That's what I'm here to find out about. Look, I'm a straight white teenage boy, and I'm here to explore the fantasy scenario in which anything in life is hard for me. So to make this work, feeding's got to be kind of a drag, and I understand that that's difficult for a GM or storyteller, because it maybe detracts from the plot if you're a hack, but you can make it work. Anyway, this is not the Vampire the Masquerade podcast. We're talking about Heroes Unlimited, which is offering me a horror superhero who is like a superhero vampire. I have to feed on the life force, the very souls of my fellow human beings in order to do heroism, fight criminals, stop bank robberies. Sounds like a 90s-style moral quandary to me. So conceptually, we're in the sweet spot here, but it only works if it's hard to feed, if I am cursed with this unholy hunger, and if I therefore pose a danger to my fellow human beings, even as I attempt to save them, right? Woe is me, woe is you, woe is all of us together. But this weak-ass vampire here, they're no threat to anybody. Here's how it works when you wave your ghostly arm through somebody and consume a bit of their very soul. First of all, you do 1d6 plus 1 damage. That's like an average of 4.5 damage. That is, by way of comparison, more damage than being hit by 4 snowballs, but less damage than being kicked. Nobody likes getting kicked, but at the same time, I'm not, like, overcome by horror. So you wave your arm through somebody once, you do that kind of damage, and then you're, like, full as though you'd eaten a little snack. It's like a light salad. Then you gotta wave that arm through again to kind of complete the meal, fill up. I can go a few hours before I gotta feed on my fellow human being again. For those of you more comfortable with the salad scale, this would be like a nice hearty niçoise. At this point, the victim has taken about 9 damage. That smarts. It hurts as much as getting kicked twice. Now, you can only do your vampire ghost touch once per melee round, so it takes 30 seconds to feed on somebody twice, fill up, they took 9 damage. Now what? If you're going to go have a supervillain fight, let's say, go do some actual crime fighting, if you're not just stopping off for lunch, then you're going to want to supercharge, which you do by continuing to feed, one feeding per 15 seconds, once per round, with each vampiric touch inflicting 1d6 plus 1 more damage and giving you a variety of bonuses. Each one after the first two gives you 1 physical strength, 5 points to your speed, 5 points to your SDC, and some other miscellaneous bonuses. Now, you can feed up to 12 times every 4 hours. Once you've fed 12 times, you are fully supercharged, you're topped up. This takes 2.5 concentrated minutes of feeding, which maybe doesn't sound like a lot, but this definitely places bio-ghost vampirism on the lengthier end of lethal ways you can get attacked in an alley, right? Which is not where I want a vampire to be. In my real life, I might fear that I'm walking down some back alley late at night, a part of the city I've never been in before, and somebody jumps out with a knife and starts stabbing me, and then leaves me lying fatally wounded in the alley, and they run off into the night. Now, if you think about that happening, and you play out the scenario in your mind, and you start counting out seconds, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. That's like a lot of stabbing, right? But this weak-ass vampire takes 2.5 full minutes to eat that soul. This vampire is nursing that soul, and that's not an exciting way to be attacked in an alley. So that's the first problem with this vampire attack. It takes for goddamn ever. Number two, it's not very dangerous. Now, that's a problem because if you're afflicting someone with the tragic curse of vampirism, to get your jollies playing them in a superhero game, you want their attack to be dangerous. You want them to have to really weigh, like, oh, I've got important superhero things to do, but it means I have to attack someone. You're going to have people lined up around the block for feedings if you're a decent superhero and you've got this power, because it barely hurts. It's like being kicked. It's like, it's almost safe for anybody. One attack, a light snack, just to keep you moving. That's going to do 4.5 damage. Think about the weakest you can possibly be in a Palladium game. What if you roll a 3 on 3d6 for your physical endurance? You are sickly, feeble, probably chronically ill, barely able to function due to the human extreme of physical fragility. Your first level. This is a wasting affliction on someone who has basically no life experience or acquired toughness at all. Like a child or someone who's lived a totally sheltered, bedridden life. So they only get 1d6 hit points, first level. They roll a 1, because that's just their luck. Things are not going great for this person. So that's 4 hit points. Now, it says in Heroes Unlimited Revised that an average person has like 12 SDC. But let's assume much lower than that. This is a person who's never had any physical activity at all to speak of, other than rolling around in bed and weeping. They've never done anything strenuous. So let's say they have the absolute minimum, 1 SDC. That's 5 total damage they can take before they die. Even they would normally be all right if you just need a little snack. What kind of pathetic vampire attacks somebody in that state and then stands up like, what have I done? And the person in bed, this withered invalid, is like, actually, I'm fine. God damn, that's a weak vampire. And even if you need to fully supercharge, or maybe you don't even need the power. You just want to destroy somebody. You're full of vampiric rage. So you're like, I'm going to eat your whole soul. Let me just pass this arm back and forth through you for 2.5 minutes and just dig in. Over a course of 12 attacks, you're going to do an average of 54 damage. Now, here's the thing. It's clear mathematically, and it's even called out here in the text of the power. That's not doing shit to any kind of like supervillain or other superhero. I mean, 54 damage is a significant amount, but over 2.5 minutes, even a person with average strength and the most basic like self-defense combat training is outpacing you on damage there, just throwing feeble punches. But let's say you're not attacking like a threat or antagonist. You are attacking a victim. You are attacking some mook, some criminal. Let's return once again to the wonderful section of Heroes Unlimited Revised, the previous edition, that generates random criminals, right? Random mooks for you to fight. And let's just see. Let's see who's on the menu and see how effective your vampirism is going to be on them. All right, so we got a wayward young woman who I'm going to call Slick Cassandra Glick. She has just made some bad choices in life. She's like 20 years old. She's second level. She's aberrant, which means she does have a sense of honor, although she's a villain. She's got only a slight misdemeanor record, and she is a thug, according to the technical classification of criminals and mooks in this game. So I figure, you know, it's early college days for her. Maybe she played basketball in high school, so she plays college basketball, and the basketball team turns out to also be a motorcycle gang, and she gets mixed up with them. And now she doesn't really want to hurt anybody, but she's very loyal to the team. She has a sense of honor, so she's like, okay, well, let me go ahead and do crimes with you as well to like back up my posse, because teamwork's important. So I gave her athletics, pick locks, and pilot motorcycle for her elective secondary skills. Let's say you're a dread superhero vampire and you get pissed at her and you take it too far. And when you catch her in mid-petty vandalism, you extend your ghost vampire mitts and start scooping her soul into your mouth, feeding upon her very essence. She has 14 hit points and 46 SDC for a total of 60 damage she can take. Typically, if you get average rolls as a vampire superhero, your little vampire belly is going to be full before you can eat her whole soul. It's going to take you 2.5 minutes. She's fighting you the whole time, kicking and struggling, and you're just like, oh, come on, I'm still eating. Let me finish. And then ultimately, assuming that she doesn't get away, after 2.5 minutes, you're standing there with your dread claws patting your belly like, look, Cassandra, I mean, it's embarrassing to say, but I am stuffed with soul. You know what? I might come back and hit you up later. Finish this up, because I still feel a certain unreasoning rage towards you. But right now, honestly, I feel like I want to go take a nap. Just the weakest fucking... She's a mook. She's like one of 10 basketball players / motorcycle hooligans that you were supposed to fight in a big fight scene. And you picked her out to exercise your dread, tragic rage on, and you can't even finish one soul. The fundamental problem with BioGhost, the dumbest thing on this page, is that it does so little damage And it requires you to feed so little. I mean, all it takes is like 4 feedings per day. Don't need to be from the same person, and you're fine. This really undercuts the tragedy of your vampiric condition, because all you gotta do is find one buddy who's like, hey, you mind if I kick you twice a day so I can live? So I can fucking survive and fight crime and save the world? And your friends are superheroes. They're gonna be like, sure, buddy, whatever it takes, right? We'll put it on a schedule like watchtower duty. Swing by around lunchtime, pass your hand through Booster Gold a couple times, and then, you know, when it's dinner time, then you can go by Wonder Woman's place. Couple of quick arm sweeps through. She's, of course, going to laugh that off. It's just as though you'd kicked her. In other words, she'll barely notice. And then tomorrow it's 2 different superheroes. Or the same superheroes. I mean, honestly, they'd be fine. You could do this indefinitely. It doesn't matter. Your vampirism is weak. I'm sorry to break it to you. Your vampirism sucks. Nobody's scared of you. And you have no problem setting up your life. And hey, guess what? If one day a superhero calls in to take the day off, then you know what? Go by the pet store and get a bag of feeder mice. And you know what? I know it's gross, but sweep your hand through them. Problem solved. It's not like you got to touch them. You're intangible when you do this shit. The supercharging aspect is kind of cool, but it's really much better for villains than it is for heroes, because as a hero, if you need to supercharge to go fight crime, it's going to be very easy for you to just ask some people if they don't mind, you know, let me vampire you, let me ghost you, bing, bang, boom, I'm all supercharged, I'm fine for a couple hours to go fight bad guys. It's a minor inconvenience in their day. And you got to set it up ahead of time anyway, because trying to supercharge in combat, I mean, you're talking about sacrificing 12 whole actions while you could be doing something useful to get these supercharge bonuses, and you're not going to be full up until 2.5 minutes into the fight. That's 10 rounds. If you've got a fight in a Palladium role-playing game with an opponent who's going to take 10 rounds to take down, keep in mind that is everybody in the party each taking like 50 actions, you know, do your fucking homework at home. Don't come to the fight, and once everybody's 50 actions deep, you're like, okay, guys, I'm ready to go. My vampire powers have finally kicked in. Let's get this fight started for real. You know, obviously the thing to do is, before the fight, just walk through a few citizen volunteers, take a couple minutes on that, and then come to the fight ready to go. So it's a better power for a villain, because they can, like, feed indiscriminately from people and rampage around town with their supercharged abilities. But even then, a dude with a lead pipe who works out and is wreaking havoc that way is much more of a threat to the citizenry than a vampire who's out there, you know, waving his feeble vampire arm through people, sucking out their souls at a painfully slow rate, as though he's doing it through like a coffee stir. It's just not scary. And that's the dumbest thing on this page for this horror superpower. But never fear, tragic superhero fans. Join me tomorrow for a superpower that truly is a curse on MDC, the Mega Dumbcast. This has been Mega Dumbcast. New episodes drop every day except for Sundays, when all the previous week's episodes drop in one big chunk for your binging convenience. Contact or check out the show wherever you want. It is MegaDumbcast on Twitter, Instagram, Podbean, your favorite podcatcher, etc., etc. And if you like my tiny little podcast, consider giving me a tiny bit of money at ko-fi.com/megadumb. That is ko-fi.com/megadumb. MDC, Palladium Books, Heroes Unlimited, and all associated trademarks are property of Kevin Sambita. This season's theme song is To the Top by Midair Machine, whose work you can find at freemusicarchive.org/music/askagain. That's ask again, 2 words with a space in between. Dumbheads, I will catch you next time.